153 this evening in your hymnals as we begin our service. 153, He is able to deliver thee. 153. Just a moment, we'll sing that last stanza, and then following that, the men's chorus will come to minister to us in song. Let's go to that last stanza, please, and lift it together. Number 10, if you will, please. Number 10, we want to praise the Lord this evening, and this should be the song of your heart. I will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Number 10, shall we stand, please, to sing? would you sing that second stanza? Gentlemen, we'll sing the third. And each time we get to the chorus, we'll join in all the voices till we get to that last stanza. And when we get to the last chorus, we'll sing that without the instruments. Beginning with the ladies, please. The melody in that last stanza, and then with just the voices on the chorus. You. Would you be seated, please?
We know God deserves our praise simply for who He is, but He deserves additional praise for what He has done, and for what He is doing, and for what He will yet do for those who trust in Him. Thank you for coming and sharing in this service this evening. If you're visiting with us, we'd like to know that you've been here. There are visitor's cards in the book racks in the pews in front of you, and it asks you to take one of those cards and fill it out and drop it in the offering plate as it comes by you in just a little bit. The singles are having a service down in the Collins building, and I've been asked to announce that if you are a single and you're here in this service, you're still invited to a fellowship in the activity center hosted by the power company after the service tonight. So even though you may miss that service there, you can still get in on the fellowship. Let's turn to our memory verses in Psalm 40. We'll say the reference, then the verses, and repeat the reference. Psalm 40, 10 and 11. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Psalm 40, verses 10 and 11. Pastor Brian Johns has an announcement concerning the quizzing.
Last evening at Community Baptist Church, Hampton Park's quiz team participated in the final regular competition of the season. We won 5 out of a possible 7 quizzes, and the following team members quizzed out with 5 correct answers. If I would have them to stand so we can recognize them. Melissa McAdams quizzed out twice. Andrew Carr, Jeremiah Dew, Brandon Durkee, Abby Garland, Prentice Kendall, and Mary Berg. Mary Berg is quizzed out on all 10 of her quizzes this season, a total of 50 correct answers with only one error. She will be honored next month at the All-Day Tournament as the top quizzer in the league. We do congratulate our quizzers for the fine season that they've done, and we appreciate all those also sponsors that have worked with them.
Wednesday evening will be our quarterly business meeting. There are agendas out at the desk, and I'd suggest you go by and pick one up and take it with you, and then come Wednesday evening to take part in the business meeting. It should be rather short, but then also to fulfill the golden rule and to pray for others as we would have them pray for us. Included in your bulletin today, there was another insert concerning the conference coming up here in February. Says, compassionately presenting biblical salvation to Roman Catholic people. This is not a Catholic hatred conference. This is just for us to know what the Catholics believe. And while they believe many of the same things that we do, we also believe that they do not simply or truly trust in Christ altogether for salvation. So I know some of you will be getting some questions about this since it was in the paper today. If there's something that you feel you don't want to answer, you might refer the person to one of the pastors of the 5 participating churches. And I'm glad it was in the paper, and I hope that this will be used to attract others to the conference. One of the things that item mentioned was that the new priest that at St. Mary's Church had written a letter to the pastors, which he did, inviting some of us to meet with him and to share our beliefs with him, and he could share his beliefs with us. So you pray that the pastors will have wisdom in that and know just about when that meeting should be and how they should approach it. But pray above all that this will be used of God. Other announcements in the bulletin that I hope you'll give your attention to and heed those that would apply to you. In a minute, the ushers are going to come to receive your offering for this evening, and I'll thank you in advance for what you do, for what you contribute to the ministry here through your tithes and through your offerings. This announcement was laid on the pulpit that the Creation Study Group that is here in Greenville will meet this Thursday. You can pick up a yellow folder concerning the meeting in the Ministry Center, and even if you can't attend the meeting, you'll find the folder interesting reading. That's Thursday night for the Creation Study Group. Betty Panosian suffered a broken leg, 2 bones, I understand, broken fractured in her leg. And she's had 1 surgery. She's home awaiting a 2nd surgery. Frances Elliott is recuperating after back surgery this week. She's making good progress. Some of her pain has been relieved, and we thank the Lord for that. Rose Johnson is home. She's also recuperating from major surgery. Manette Eberlein, I believe, was in the service this morning. Let's keep on praying for her. She has this bad infection in her foot that put her in the hospital, but she's doing a little bit better, or she wouldn't be home. So keep on remembering that. Cindy Summer did get a report on the dissection of her lymph nodes that she had on Wednesday. She got a good report, but she'll still be receiving treatment as a precaution. And then remember Galen Slick, who had surgery on his shoulder. Pray for that to be effective and for him to recover. Pray again for Pat Dennell, whose sister passed away in Louisiana, and for Jeff Carr and Susan Burke. It was Jeff's sister, Cherry Stewart, and she was also Susan Burke's sister-in-law. She passed away in Indiana. Her funeral was on Friday. I want to pray for both of our services that are underway tonight. that God would use His Word to challenge us, to speak to our hearts. We'll ask the ushers to come, get in place to receive your offering, and Pastor Alston will lead us in our prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you let us come to you as your children and that you are our Father when we trust in Christ alone to save us from our sins. We praise you for the work that you have done for us. We thank you that one of the Lord Jesus' titles is the Lamb of God, because we couldn't get a lamb good enough to pay for our sins. Even all of the many hundreds, yea, thousands that were offered never took away sins. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Lamb, cleanses us from all sin once and for all. And we praise you for your love and for your sacrifice of love made for us. Heavenly Father, please help us as a result of what we will gain from our time together tonight to love you more and to serve you from that love in a more glorifying and honoring way. Don't let us come and do church. God, deliver us from doing church. We don't need to do church. We need to meet with you. And we need you to deal with us in our hearts. We need you to scrape off the rough edges, though it be painful. We need you to break our hearts, Lord, if we are stubborn. And many of us need your balm, for we have already gone through difficulties, Father. And so undertake for us and meet our needs, for we need you, and you alone can meet the needs of our heart and of our spirit this evening. We pray for our conference coming up that seems to be a bit controversial. Lord, give us hearts of peace and serenity about this. May we not be nervous as though we have something to hide. We have nothing to hide. We have everything to show to others. May we go into our workplaces this week joyfully expecting questions that we may answer in a gracious and winsome way, that those who don't know Christ may see more of the light of your salvation. Use us in this. This is not a difficulty. This is an opportunity. So help us, Father. We pray that you'll undertake for those who have recently had surgery, for those who are still waiting surgery, and then for those who have lost loved ones, that you will meet their needs, give them physical healing, for you are the great physician. Guide those who minister to their bodies as you minister your peace to their hearts. We pray that you will use their difficulties for your glory and for their blessing and for the blessing of others around them. Guide us as we continue together now, Father, and use us. And before I finish, I do pray that as we take some time to focus on the great need of our country to do away with the terror and the horror of abortion, that you will bring the word spoken this evening into our minds in such a way, Lord, that we would focus our prayers and we would focus efforts, that we might fight the good fight against this terrible plague in our country that we have allowed to come. Please bless us this evening. Challenge us and strengthen us. And may we depart with peace and joy and hearts ready to appropriate the victories that our Savior has given us freely. In His name we pray. Amen. What an assurance we have with the Lord Jesus Christ as our rock. We don't have to trust in anything else. We thank the choir for their ministry. We want to thank Lisa Dukeshire for her beautiful offertory this evening as well. Let's take our hymnals once again. We're going to turn this time to 231. 231, we're going to sing today, this evening, Blessed Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. 231, we'll sing together the first and the last stanza, stanzas 1 and 3. Shall we stand to sing once again, please? Would you be seated, please?
For those who listen later by radio, I'll tell you this is a service from Hampton Park Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Just a moment, Emily Shaw is going to come and sing for us. Before she comes, let's bow in prayer. Father, how wonderful it is for us to be able to sing your praises tonight, to be gathered together here in this place at this time. I pray that we may find here peace for our hearts and that we might come to a fuller understanding of thy love and thy care for us, and also of our responsibility to walk obediently before thee. I pray, Father, for any who may be here who do not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, today would become the day of their salvation as they open their hearts and receive him. Lord, all of us need to be drawn closer to thee. All of us need to grow in grace. So may there be something in this service tonight that you can use to draw us closer and to help us to grow in grace before thee. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
These his dear children are gone.
Thank you, Emily, for ministering to us this evening in this beautiful song. As you've noticed on your bulletin and perhaps have heard elsewhere, this Sunday is Sanctity of Life Sunday. We're thankful for the Piedmont Women's Center, which is in the business of rescuing babies from abortion. And we're glad to have a representative of the Piedmont Women's Center with us tonight, Seema Powell. And she's going to come and give us a report on the rescue operations.
I am the administrator for a wonderful program. It's a Bible study program that we offer twice a year to men and women who have been suffering from a past abortion. The Bible study for women is called Forgiven and Set Free. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Forgiven and Set Free. Many times a woman who suffers from abortion will say, I know God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself, which really essentially means she can't receive God's forgiveness. Forgiven and set free. It's a promise. The men's Bible study is called Healing a Father's Heart. And they're both wonderful. Pass the word around if you have the opportunity. We have three centers in Greenville. Piedmont Women's Center on Grove, next to the state's largest abortion clinic. Piedmont Women's Center on Lawrence Road, next door to another abortion clinic, and Piedmont Women's Center Greer. We have ultrasounds up and running in two of them, and we'll very soon be starting ultrasound at Greer. The free ultrasound is something that we've added recently in the last few years, because when a woman sees a heartbeat on that screen, there's upwards of a 90% saving rate or change of mind rate. She will change her mind 90% of the time. Before we had the ultrasound, it might have been 30 to 40% of the time. So we are praising God for providing those ultrasound machines for us. Now, I have some good news tonight. The latest statistics just in show that abortion in Greenville is down 34%. Abortion in Columbia is down 66%. And the major abortion clinics is down from 12 to 5. Now, we're doing something right. Keep praying. But the bad news is that there's a new kind of, we're used to warfare. In the crisis pregnancy centers, we're used to warfare. But there's a new kind of warfare you might have heard coming against some of the pregnancy care centers in New York. So be praying about that. They're taking pregnancy care centers to court on grounds of deception. And we know why, don't we? The one who seeks to kill and destroy doesn't like these latest statistics. He doesn't like women choosing life for their babies. And he doesn't like, even more than that, he doesn't like men and women hearing the gospel. And that's what we do at Piedmont Women's Center. That's the bottom line. You know what? They need Jesus. No matter who comes in that center, they need to hear the good news. They need to hear the word of God. They might be straying off the path. They may never have heard it. We have women who have come into the center who have never heard the gospel, right here in Greenville, South Carolina. They need to hear the word. I was in mission work. I was on the mission field in a third world country for 6 years. And I often tell people I had more culture shock when I came back to Greenville and started my position with Piedmont Women's Center as director of Grove Road than I had in a third world country. I couldn't believe the choices that young people were making. I couldn't believe the path they were on. I couldn't believe the low moral standards that they had. And then God reminded me that there, but for the grace of God, go I. And you. We're all here tonight in this wonderful place because of the grace of God. because of what he's done in our hearts. He's given us hearts of flesh to hear his word, to want to be in relationship with him, to learn more about him. And Jesus loves the women who come in that center. He saw the great crowds and he had compassion. And that's how we are at Piedmont Women's Center. Some of the women that come in just need encouragement. They need a nudge, a word from God to get back on the right path. Some need some material things like baby clothes and cribs and diapers and wipes. And you can help with that. And some are in great crisis, and just the biggest desire of their hearts is not to be in that situation at all. And they are the ones that are in danger. But they all need Jesus and the Word of God. And what a privilege it is to share the Word and watch it work. A young woman came into the center about 2 years after I had been there, and she had made 4 appointments. She came in by mistake because we are next door to the abortion clinic. She thought she was at the abortion clinic. She came in and she said she collapsed in a chair and told me that this was the 4th time that she had tried to take care of this situation. She had made an appointment for an abortion. This was the 4th time, and even this one failed. Well, to make a long story short, because it is a long story, that baby is alive today because I was able to pull out the Word of God and share with her that God had a plan for her, and it was good. It was for a hope and a future. And I pointed that verse out to her, and she said, "What?" And she said, "Read it to me again." And the end of the story, I can't tell you all of it, but it was wonderful because she got into the Word of God. That baby is probably 5 years old right now. She was mentored and discipled in the Word, and her whole life turned around. So what a privilege it is to share the Word of God. If you love the Word and you love to share it, then Piedmont Women's Center needs you. You don't have to go out door to door. You know, God brings them in, thirsty and hungry women and men also, every day into our centers. And he often uses that crisis plus his word to turn them around. 2 things I want to close with. We need your prayers. We can't be there without your prayers. If you have a prayer room or a prayer list in this church, put us on there and keep us on there daily. And pray for the volunteers and the staff of Piedmont Women's Center because they are in warfare. It's an intense situation. And then prayerfully consider also taking our training. It's great training. You can use it in your families, your friends, wherever you go. You don't have to become a volunteer in the center. But that training will open your eyes to exactly what's going on and how to help people. There's a table right out here on this side with training brochures. Look for the lavender training brochure with the ministry report. And a bookmark. And I brought enough bookmarks, I think, for everybody in here. So go get one. Thank you very much.
We thank Seema for coming tonight and sharing with us. Will you be back there at the table after the service? So if anybody has any questions, they can stop by there and talk with you. But we're grateful for the rescue efforts being put forth by the Piedmont Women's Center, and of course done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking to win people to him and to encourage those who may know him but who have fallen into sin. Turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. It's a very short verse. 1 John 5, 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. The history of worshiping false gods is nearly as long as the history of mankind itself. Although there's no mention of idol worship before the flood, it must surely have been a part of the great wickedness and violence that caused God to destroy the earth at that time. Terah, the father of Abraham, is the first person mentioned in the Bible by name who served other gods. And that's recorded in Joshua 24:2. Although the Israelites were greatly honored by God to be His chosen people, yet they sinned against Him time and time again by worshiping other gods. This in spite of God's clear word to them, God's clear commandment to them, that they should not do so. I think we know these verses, but turn back to Exodus chapter 20, where we have the giving of the Ten Commandments by God to Moses. Nothing could be plainer than this. Exodus 20, verse 1, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." There are at least 25 false gods that are named in the Bible, although there were many, many others not identified by name. For Jeremiah said of the nation of Judah, "According to the number of thy cities are thy gods." Jeremiah 2:28. So there were hundreds of gods, false gods, idols, that were worshipped by not only the heathen, but by God's own people. Most of the rites of worship of the false gods were filled with licentiousness of the worst kind, and even the offerings of human sacrifices. There was one god I want to mention in particular that demanded the sacrifice of children. Its name was Molech, M-O-L-E-C-H, although there are other spellings in the Bible, but that's the main spelling. Molech was the national god of the Ammonites, and the Ammonites were one of the seven distinct nations of the Canaanites, who were descended from Noah's son, Ham. Now, according to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, the image of Molech, of this false god, was that of a human being with the head of a bull. This image had outstretched arms. It was heated red hot from within. People brought their children and they placed them in those burning, almost burning arms of this idol. They would fall off eventually of the arms down into a fiery pit below. In order to drown out their cries, there would be a beating of drums and a playing of flutes. Mothers would stand by tearless, indicating that they voluntarily offered their children to this idol. The Israelites took up this idol worship, even though they were warned by God not to do so. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 18. Leviticus 18 and verse 21. God's dealing here with sexual sins of all kinds. And in the midst of that, he says in this 18th verse, am I right? Leviticus 18, 21. "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord." So there was a prohibition to the worship of these idols again. Then turn over into the 20th chapter, looking at the second verse, just over one page. "Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among his people because he hath given of his seed, that is of his children, unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Molech and killeth him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off. So God in the Ten Commandments said, don't make any image. Don't bow down to that image. You're not to have any other God before me. And here he deals specifically with this idol Molech that the people should not take of their children and have them pass through the fire, that is, offer them as a sacrifice unto this God. Now, I think we probably stand aghast at such a thing as this, to realize what these people did with their children. But let's consider our own nation's idol worship today. While we may no longer fashion images or bow down to them, images of gold or metal or of wood or of stone, we nonetheless worship many false gods of various shapes and various forms. One of the most predominant religions in the world today is not Christianity, is not even Islam, it isn't Hinduism, it isn't Buddhism, it's humanism. That is probably the largest religion in the world, humanism. Now, the God of humanism is man. And we speak of man, we speak of ourselves. So we can say the God of humanism, the God of the humanists, is self. We bring our sacrifices and we worship at the altar of self. On this particular day, when we're remembering the sacredness of life, we cannot help but think upon the millions and millions of babies that have been aborted, that have been literally murdered in the 29 years since abortion became legal in this country. Now, the idol is different than Molech, but the sacrifices are the same. The people in those ancient times offered their children, offered the lives of their children in sacrifice. And through abortion today, the lives of children are offered as a sacrifice. What is abortion but an offering to the idol of self, satisfying self? Except in very rare cases where a mother's life may be threatened, and we're told that is very rare. But except in those cases, what other motives are there for abortion other than to fulfill selfish desires, to satisfy self? In some cases, it's to cover up the sin of adultery or fornication. If the baby were born, the sin would be known. If the baby can be aborted, perhaps the sin will remain unknown and remain covered. And undoubtedly, there are many ladies who go to have abortions for that reason, to cover up their sin of immorality. It's also to escape the stigma of having a baby out of wedlock, although that stigma has pretty much disappeared in our generation. It used to be a real shame for a girl, for a lady, to have a baby born out of wedlock. That is certainly not so on the whole in our land today. It may be to keep from having a baby as a result of an adulterous affair where a man doesn't want his wife to know that he has been involved with another woman, or a wife doesn't want her husband to know that she has conceived another man's baby. So in order to hide that adulterous affair within marriage, the baby suffers for it. Some do not want to interrupt a career. They're professional people, career people. They have a good position. They're making good money. To have a baby would interrupt that, perhaps cause them to lose their position or to have to step aside from it for a time. And they want to satisfy themselves by continuing on in that career. It might be to continue a sinful lifestyle unhindered. We've already talked about the immorality of the unmarried and the married. But to be able to go on. And again, a baby would interrupt that sinful lifestyle perhaps for a time. Or it would cause them to turn to somebody else. So in order to continue that lifestyle, without any hindrance of a child, a baby is aborted. Some do it to avoid the cost of rearing a child. Some parents, some married people do this. We have one child, or we have two children, or we have a certain number, and we just can't afford having any more children. We can't afford the cost of bringing up a child in this modern age where it's going to take tens of thousands of dollars to bring them to adulthood. So to avoid that cost, babies are aborted. Some want to be free from the responsibility of parenting. That isn't what they would enjoy doing. They know it takes time to be a good parent. It takes a lot of effort. And they don't want to spend that time doing that. They say, I'm not called to be a parent. This is not what I want to be. So because of that, there is the abortion. Some say it's too early in marriage to start a family. Eventually, yes, we want to have a family. We want to have children. But we've just been married a little while, and we don't want this baby. And therefore, they turn to the abortion mills. Many do it to avoid having a child with physical or mental handicaps, rather than having a child come into this world that is not completely whole in mind or body. And often we hear that doctors recommend that. You don't want to give birth to this baby. You don't want to bring such a child into the world. And so the easy way out of that, supposedly, is abortion. And then for the doctor who performs the abortions, it's primarily to make money. Why else would a doctor do this? The World Magazine this week, there was a page about Dr. Edward Allred, who owns 25 abortion clinics. He doesn't call them that. He calls them family clinics, family planning clinics. But he has 25 of them in California and in the Chicago area. And last year, the total income from those abortion clinics was over $70 million. What does it cost to have an abortion? Do you know? All right, around $300, $300 to $400. So now, divide that $300 or $400 into that $70 million, and you get an idea of how many babies were aborted. And that doctor did it primarily for the purpose of becoming rich. He's a multimillionaire at the expense of babies being killed. So, as we worship at the altar of self, babies are often unwanted and they are destroyed. But they're not the only offerings that we make to self. Maybe we would never consider aborting a baby, but we make other offerings to self. We often offer our prayer time to self. What do I mean by that? Rather than taking of our time to get alone with God, to spend time with Him in prayer, because we have so many other demands upon our time to benefit ourselves primarily. Maybe it's something in the way of pleasure. Maybe it's something else that would appeal to us and would benefit just self. Not something that has to be done, but something that we want to do, something that appeals to us. And so we take our prayer time, and in a sense, we offer to our idol, self, and say, I don't have time to pray today. Don't we do that with our Bible reading and our Bible study? Rather than reading God's Word and getting it into our minds each day and feeding upon the Word of God. And we really know that God's Word is as vital to our spiritual health as food on the table is to our physical health. But how often do we take our Bible and we offer it to the idol of self? Or we take our Bible and we offer it as a sacrifice. Give up our Bible reading for the sake of self. And we go over a whole list of things. Our witnessing. If we were to really admit tonight why most of us don't go out and try to reach others for Christ, or we don't take advantage of our witnessing opportunities where we are, I think most of us would answer, oh, I really don't have the time for that. Some people have time. Let them do it. I don't have the time. But here again, we're offering our witnessing to self. We do it with our money. We selfishly take the money that God has entrusted to us as His stewards, and we spend that on self rather than than using some of it for the glory of God and for the cause of Christ, for worthy ministries and worthy endeavors in our community and around the world. And we say, oh, I earned this. It belongs to me. And so we take our material resources and we offer them to the idol of self. We do it to our marriages and our families. How many marriages break up? How many families are destroyed because of the selfishness that is within those circles? And there have been many a husband and many a wife who has offered her marriage and offered her family on the altar of self that she might have her own way and do her own thing. In our bodies, we've talked some about immorality. Jesus, through Paul, or God through Paul, said we're to offer our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. But how many offer their bodies only to self? They go to the altar of self and they offer their bodies for their own pleasure and their own satisfaction and their own well-being. Doesn't mean we're not to take care of our bodies. But if God said we're to offer them as a living sacrifice unto Him, then when we don't do that, we're disobeying the Word of God. And of course, the ultimate sacrifice to self is our soul. If we live for self, live our entire lives for self, and die for self, we have taken the one immortal thing that we possess, our souls, and we've offered them to the idol of self, and we're lost forever. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world?" And nobody's ever gained the whole world. But he's saying if a person could gain the whole world, he could own everything in the world. He could have all the power to rule the world. It was all his. And he loses his soul. It'd be a poor bargain. Yes, babies are offered today as sacrifices to the God of self. And I'm afraid, and I'm speaking to myself now, I'm afraid there are many times when I have offered other things that are very dear to the idol of self. Now how can we keep ourselves from idols? That's what our text says. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. How can we do that? Jesus had the answer for it. Remember one day when he was here in this world, somebody came to him and asked him what was the greatest commandment? And Jesus answered, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." And that takes in the whole person. He's saying, you're to love the Lord your God with your entire being. And then he said, the second commandment is like unto it. And I mean, I would take that to mean it's just as important. Or ranks right up there. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we would practice loving the Lord with our whole being and loving others through Christ, we could keep ourselves from idols. It's a clear command. But are we doing any better than the Israelites did? Oh, we're not bowing down to Molech. We're not bowing down to some other image. But we're often bowing to the idol of self. I pray God would challenge our hearts and speak to us. These two commandments, loving God with all of our being, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, are really idol destroyers. Read back in the books of Kings and Chronicles, where some of the kings came in and the king before them had been involved in idol worship. And really, you know, the first king of Israel, and this is hard to believe, but the first king of Israel that worshiped Molech was Solomon, the wisest man who supposedly ever lived. But he's the one that brought in the worship of Molech into the kingdom of Israel. Now, the people had worshipped the idols before that, but I'm talking about in the time of the kings. He built these idols to Molech. But then kings would come, and they would destroy these idols. They would break them up. They would carry them out. They would burn them. Another king would come along and build them again. But we can destroy the idols in our lives. We really can. If we love the Lord with all of our being, and if we love others as we love ourselves. May God help us. Let's pray. Father, we're here this evening before Thee, and You know our hearts. You know what we are. You know the hidden things that no one else knows. Perhaps You see tonight things that have not been put under the blood of Jesus Christ. We've never forsaken them. We've never accepted Your forgiveness. Lord, self is so strong. Self is such a big idol. I pray that You'd help us to take the means that You have given us for destroying self. Not that it's going to be a once for all victory. It's going to have to be fought day by day. But putting Thee first and loving Thee with all of our being, and loving others as we love ourselves. And since we do love self so much, to love others as we love ourselves would be a strong sacrificial love. And if there's any here tonight that are taking their immortal soul, and Lord, they're only worshiping self and satisfying self through their soul, help them to see what a loss it would be for them to die and go out into eternity without Jesus Christ. We're glad for the progress that's being made in the rescue of babies. But Lord, give us a greater burden about this great sin of our country. I pray that You would move upon our president's heart. Lord, we thank You for our president. But I know there's so many other things that are vying for his attention, that the matter of abortion has been put to the side. But Lord, really bring him to the place where he realizes what a blight this is. It took a while for Israel and for Judah to fall, but eventually they did. And we're so thankful for Thy patience and Thy long-suffering with us. But Lord, if our president and our leaders could see what a sin this is, and if we could, Lord, be stirred up in our own hearts, we believe it would make a greater difference. Thank You for the Piedmont Women's Center and for the babies that are being rescued, and the people that are coming to know Christ, and folks that are being helped. Pray that You'll continue to bless them and to use them and to guide them. For Christ's sake, amen. We're going to sing number 318 as a song of invitation. We sang that this morning, and I was looking at that second verse. Jesus calls us from the worship of this vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. If you're here tonight without Jesus as your Savior, if you're here tonight and you know that you're not living for God as you should live, and self is ruling in your life, if you come, somebody would be glad to pray with you and go to a quiet place, or if you just want to come and kneel here at this altar. But if you're coming to receive Christ, to take your soul off the altar of self and give it to the Lord, we want to know about it as you come. Maybe you have other needs that you need to bring tonight. May God help you to be obedient. Let's stand together. 318. Let's sing the second stanza first, and then we'll go back. Sing the first and on through. The first stanza. Second stanza again. heads and close our eyes, and we'll have the choir sing a verse or two. If you need to come, this is a great opportunity to do what God would have you to do tonight. Any decision that you need to make for Him. So the choir will sing a couple of stanzas. If no one else comes, we'll close and be on our way. Father, help us to hate idols. Help us to love Thee. The more we love Thee, the more we'll hate the idols that come into our lives. May we do what You have commanded us to do. Keep ourselves from idols. We can't do it by ourselves, but Lord, we can do it with Your strength and Your power. Give us a heart's desire for doing it. Pray for Christ's sake. Amen. You may be seated just a minute. Johannes Mutzkis were in Austria for several months while he was in school there. It's a program from the University of South Carolina, but he was studying in Austria. And God used them there in the church that was started by the Todd Hudsons. I think they also had some Bible studies. And so they had a great opportunity for ministry there. And they're back here now in South Carolina while he continues his work on his degree. And they came tonight just to let us know that they want their lives to really count for God here. I think they were especially blessed of God over in Austria, and they'd like to be used of the Lord here in the USA. So in a minute, we're going to have a word of prayer for them. And then we have Ryan and Elizabeth Neal are going to be leaving on Wednesday to go to New Zealand for about 3 months. Remember, the Gene Fishers were there filling in for a missionary who came home to adopt a baby, and there have been some complications in that adoption. We might pray for that. But in the meantime, the Neals are going to go for 3 months and help with the work there in New Zealand. So they'll be leaving on Wednesday to take up that ministry, and we want to pray for them as they go and pray that the Lord will use them and the Lord will give them direction for their future lives as they seek to serve Him. So let's have a word of prayer on behalf of these two couples. Father, we rejoice tonight because of Your goodness to us, and I thank You for the Mutzkis and for Your blessing upon them as they were in Austria for these months, that You used them there, Lord, to minister to others, to help the Hudsons in their church and to have Bible studies, and in many ways they were involved in ministry. And now as they're home, I pray that they will find the same opportunities here, maybe just a little different degree, but Lord, they'll be able to serve Thee here, and that they'll be a blessing. Above all, I would ask that their lives will bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ always, and that wherever they go, Christ may be seen in them. So as they've made this a dedication, I know, Lord, that You will receive it as they seek to do Your will. Then I pray for the Neals as they go from us now. They're going a long distance, but I know that You're going to go with them there. Give them safety on the airliners as they go. And then, Lord, as they're in New Zealand for these months, that they would be just a tremendous use there, that they would be vessels anointed by Thee to do a work in that place that will glorify Thee, and that will be of help and encouragement to others. Pray for that group of believers with whom they'll be working. And Father, that You'll use them there according to Your purpose and Your will. So we commit these four folks, these children of Yours, these servants of Yours unto You now, and ask that You'll bring great victory into their lives. And again, I pray that they'll be used in a wonderful way for Jesus' sake. Amen.
I'm going to ask them to remain down here at the front for just a minute after we're dismissed, and some of you come by and greet them, especially the Neals, as they're going to be gone for a piece from us, but the Mootskis as well, as they're going to be near to us for a while. And remember to go back by the table for the Piedmont Women's Center before you go on your way. Let's turn to 547. 547, give of your best to the Master. And the Master doesn't desire anything less than that. So may we be challenged to keep ourselves from idols and give our best to our Lord. Let's stand together. We'll sing the first and last verses, 547.